Carl's going to come up and share with us this morning's message shortly, but I'm just going to read to you from 1 Thessalonians, it's the second half of chapter 3. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus Christ comes with all his holy ones. Amen.
Thank you, Andy. Well, we all know, don't we, the anxiety of separation when a loved one or a family member has gone off, maybe for some time. There's a natural anxiety, a natural concern, a natural worry for them. How are they doing? How are they getting on? Are they okay? And will I be okay without them? Well, no different for Paul. As he travelled around and continued on his journeys, preaching in different places, he acutely felt the separation from these Christians that he had left behind in a hurry in Thessalonica. And he was naturally anxious about them. He was now separated from them by hundreds of miles and maybe also years in time, but naturally concerned for them. Well, what can he do? He can't phone them. There's no signal, just like here in Ely. He can't use Facebook. Forgotten his password, left that behind in Thessalonica when he left in a hurry. So he has to resort to the old-fashioned way of sending someone to visit firsthand. And so he sends young Timothy to go and see the Thessalonians and then come back. But the good news is that when Timothy comes back, he reports, and it's an encouraging, it's a positive reports captured in just two small words. Verse 6 in this reading, as Timothy talks of their faith and their love. Two short words, but what do they spell out? Well, the faith talks of the fact that the Thessalonians are still in Christ. Remember, for those of us who are here a few weeks ago when we started the series, we said, what fundamentally changed for those people living in Thessalonica is that they had this radical encounter with Jesus Christ. And that encounter still lives in them. They haven't wandered off, they haven't forgotten, they haven't kind of gone on a different track since. That's the faith. And the second is the love. But God is still working through them. God is still pouring through their lives. Because they are still rooted in Christ and true to that encounter with him, God is able to continue to pour his love through their lives. So the bottom line is the report back from Thessalonica is that they are still in Christ. They are still proclaiming God's kingdom and showing God's love, which means that Paul's own preaching back then, those years ago, back in Thessalonica, had not been in vain, because they are continuing the work of proclaiming Jesus Christ. And so Paul is able to say in verse 8, so now we really live. We are alive because we know that the Thessalonians are holding out for Christ back where they are. Somehow Paul, though separated by all these miles and years, was connected to the Thessalonians still. His well-being, his own faith and walk with Christ was connected to the Thessalonians. Well, this is the principle of the body that Paul writes to other churches in some of his other letters. That they were connected. And if one part is aching, then the whole body aches. If one part is in trouble, then Paul and his own people are in trouble as well. If one part is finding it difficult to proclaim Christ, then the whole body is suffering. We all know, don't we, that if our little toe really hurts, if we stubbed it on a door frame or a chair leg or something, and our little toe really hurts, we can't just say, oh, that's all right, it's a little toe, it's on the end of a foot, it doesn't matter. You know, I can forget that, don't need that. No, the little toe throbbing away because you stubbed it so badly kind of makes your whole body hurt in some way. You know that your little toe hurts. You can't just ignore it, you can't just slice it off. It makes all of you feel an ache. The same with Paul and all these Christians that he'd seen come to faith and left behind in all these different places, Thessalonica just being one of them. If they're aching, if they're in trouble, he can't just ignore that, can't just say, oh, we'll slice them off, it doesn't matter. No, it makes him ache as well because of the body. They were connected. Firstly, by being in Jesus Christ. They had that same encounter with Jesus Christ. And secondly, they were sharing in that same God's given purpose to declare that Jesus is Lord. You see, wind back a bit to verse 1 of this chapter. I got Andy to read from verse 6. But in verse 1, how is Timothy described by Paul? He's sent off and said, look, we sent to you our brother, our co-worker in the service of Christ. Well, what is that service? That service is the same preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, proclaiming that Jesus is Lord and his kingdom is now and being worked out across the region, that very same task that Paul himself was doing. That's the description that Paul gives to people when they come to faith and join in with the same purposes that he's locked onto. Co-worker in Christ. So if you are still back in Thessalonica, that same description applies to you as part of a body, a co-worker in the service of God, spreading the good news. All people who come to faith in Christ can share in this same kingdom purpose and be co-workers. Now, if you know the story of Paul and where he went, maybe you've got those little maps in the back of your Bible. Turn them up one day, have a look this week. See the vast region that he travels, proclaiming the kingdom. He went up from what we know as Israel, up round what is nowadays Turkey, into Greece. Massive big curve, proclaiming the kingdom of Christ. He had this vision to see kingdom life appear in all these places, across this massive territory, wherever we went. Now here, our vision, as a little local church here in the city of Ely, our vision is to see kingdom life appear across the whole city. And maybe beyond. Maybe a little bit down the A10, you never know. But at very least, around the whole city, just as Paul wanted to see kingdom life appear wherever he went, around all these places, around the Mediterranean. We want to see kingdom life appear across the city of Ely. We share that in common. So let us have in common here two things. One is our relationship in Christ. Being rooted in Him, having had that encounter with Him that changes for us everything. And secondly, our shared desire to see kingdom life across the city. Wherever we find ourselves, whether it's through work, play or school or whatever, to see kingdom life appear. And those two things, being in Christ and that shared common purpose, enable us to be a body. Enable us to be one people. That gives our unity. If it's just one little snippet that you remember from this morning, one simple thing, remember this, that being in Christ and sharing that same God-given purpose, that is the source of tremendous unity. That can run far deeper than differences that we might have. We might think differently about different things, we might prefer different styles, or one person would do it one way, another person might do it another way. That's fine. Because our unity that comes from being in Christ and sharing the same God-given purposes is much greater than that and surpasses those things. That is where our unity comes from. But if you can understand that simple point, let me stretch your thinking a bit and let me tease you a bit and let's do a little bit of mind-bending, if you like. Because to see kingdom life appear across the city, we know that we must go out and take that kingdom life out to places. It's not enough to expect everyone to come to us. Some people will come to us, that's fantastic. People come to us at our Imagine event. Some people came to the opening yesterday. That is wonderful. But there is far, far more people out there that we need to go to and take the kingdom life to. Which is why we encourage people to pray into St. John's, to Stour Green, to Ely North before it's even been built yet. And so in fact, any place where a cluster of people in our own body feel led to get together and pray for. But in going out, ultimately, those people will be doing stuff, might be like Imagine, might be like Message Church or something different out in that local place, whether it's Stour Green, St. John's or some other place. And when they do that, being finite human beings, they can only be in that place and not in this place at the same time. This is just a trouble we have. We can only be in one place at one time. So we may get to the point where we have some weeks, some weekends, some Sundays, where some people are out ministering and proclaiming the kingdom of God and showing people what God's love means in these different places. And in those times, they will not be able to be physically in this room. Well, does that bring an anxiety that somehow we are splitting up, somehow we are fragmenting? Well, my suggestion is no, it doesn't have to be that way. Because our unity is in Jesus Christ and sharing the same God-given purposes to take kingdom life across the city. That will run deeper than not always being able to be in this room all the time, every time. Some of us working out in the different places, but still united, still part of the same body, because we are all in Christ and all sharing this same God-given purpose. And so we can work together with one organisational structure, one constitution, one overall leadership team, one set of finances, one set of charity trustees, working as one body. Do you know, the fascinating thing is, and it's good with the food stats here ready to go off to the food bank, that God has given us already an illustration of how this principle that I've just talked about might work. He's already given it to us, not by our design, not by our trying, but just how things have turned out in his grace. In the Ely Food Bank. Because the Ely Food Bank started 3 years ago, and we started collecting and giving out here in the city of Ely. But within a year, and just over a year, we already found ourselves distributing down at Soham, and then adding March and Chatteris, and now we've got Sutton and Cottenham as well. All these different places that are part of Ely Food Bank. Now, I'm a finite human being. Kathy, who's project director for the food bank, is a finite human being. I think I'm more finite than Kathy is, but there you go. We can only be in one place at one time. We cannot be in Ely, Soham, March, Chatteris, and all the other places all the time. It's just physically not possible. And so we have other people in those places making the food bank work, collecting food, sorting it, and giving it to people in crisis needs. And it all works because we share a strong common purpose, which for the food bank is to help people in crisis needs with food. And that strong common purpose means that when we do meet, because we do see each other from time to time, we can focus straight away on the task in hand. Yes, we can share discouragements, we can share frustrations, we share encouragements and things that are working well. Well, how are you doing it, and how are you getting over this issue, and this is what we're doing, and so on. But it works because we have one common purpose: to help people in crisis need. If we go to the next slide here. No, the one before, please. There we go. The one common purpose provides our unity. And so we make the whole thing work with one charity, one set of trustees, one set of finances, one set of operation procedures, and all those documents that you have to have now as a charity. One body with a common purpose, a kingdom purpose, helping people with crisis needs by God's grace. Let's now turn back to the passage and look with me at verse 12. Where Paul prays for the Thessalonians, and he says that my prayer for you is that your love increases and overflows. But look carefully at what he says: for each other as well as everyone else. There's a whole love of God thing going on with Paul, just as there is through the whole of the New Testament, in fact, of course, through the whole Bible. There's love for others, and there's love for each other. I'll call it in-house love and love shown externally. But the two are connected. It's not either or. So many people seem to fall into this trap of finding it's one or the other. It's not supposed to be that way. The two go together. Our love for each other and our love externally connect and go together. So we don't want to reach out across the city and forget what's going on with our brothers and sisters in here. We don't want to focus on our brothers and sisters in here to the exclusion of what is going on out there. May our love increase and overflow for each other and the whole city. But let's focus a bit on ourselves for a moment. Because for this unity to work, we need the love of God to be flowing through us, and we need that love to be flowing through us for each other. And the simplest and yet most profound question I can think of to ask ourselves is this one that's going to come on screen now. Do you love the body? Look around. The people here. The people who are part of a church but can't be here this week. Do you love the body? Even when they annoy you. Even when they frustrate you. Do you love the body? Are you able to prioritise, make time for, expend effort, arrange your life around for the benefit for the body, to enable the church to work and function? That comes from your love of the body. And so the challenge is very simple, and you can all do this. You can do this the moment the service finishes. Go and bless another part of the body. It might be someone who's doing a work that you've never paid any attention to. I'll just pick one arbitrarily, like Parapack. You might think, Parapack Wednesday night, what's that about? I've never known what they do. Well, ask around, say, who needs that stuff? And go and find them, say, what is it that I can pray for you? How can I bless you this week? I've never paid any attention to what you do, but let me bless you this week at least. It might be someone that you have never spoken to in church before over coffee. So find someone over coffee that you've never spoken to before and say, look, actually, we've been here years, but let's talk today. Or can we say hello? Or it might be, for the first time in your life, you go and thank the musicians for doing their stuff during the service. It doesn't matter. Just find something where you bless another part of the body. Simple challenge. But go and do it. Make it your habit. But another thing, looking back in verse 10 now, Paul wanted to visit, and the Thessalonians wanted him to visit, they wanted to meet up and see each other. This is the importance of meeting together. I've talked about different people in the church going off doing things in different parts of the city. And some weeks they may not be able to be here because they're off doing that stuff. What I am not saying, that's not in bold, with capital letters and an underline, and I've increased the font size. I am not saying that means we never meet up. Now, on the weeks when you're doing that stuff, okay, you can't be here, but there are other weeks, there are other Sundays when you should join together and be here. Because Paul understood the importance of turning up and physically being here. Facebook is great, but it does not replace physically turning up and being here. So when we have our times, we only have two a year, where we call the whole church together to pray, you cannot substitute anything for physically turning up and being here. So it's Wednesday the 11th of November, 8 o'clock, in here. Turn up, Be part of the body. There's no other substitute. There is no other way of doing that one activity. But finally, in verse 10, there's these strange little words that are a bit of a head scratcher. He says that I am to supply what is lacking in your faith. Well, what is that? Is it that Paul, being that superior Christian leader, has this special faith pill that only he can dispense? Well, the people who look into these things don't actually know what he's talking about. Maybe it's some bit of teaching, maybe it's some encouragement, but we don't know. But I don't think that it is something that only he can give in a sort of superior sense. Because all through this letter, he is talking about a two-way relationship. He cannot do without the Thessalonians remaining in Christ, just as the Thessalonians cannot do without him remaining in Christ. So what he is actually saying is that I want to come and I just want to bring a blessing and encourage you with something. And I'm sure you will encourage me. The principle here is that when we meet together, we can give. We can give something that blesses someone else. We can do something that will help someone. Maybe they've been struggling, maybe they've had a rubbish week. But you can bring something that will help lift them and enable them to focus on Jesus again. That is our principle of our corporate worship, when we gather together on times like this on a Sunday. That is our principle. That everyone can bring something. A great mistake is to think that you come to receive the worship that the musicians are doing or the service leader has organised for you. No, we bring our worship. That's why we fill in slips and put them in this basket and do other things. It's what we bring. To make this point, to kind of be even more straight down the line with it, look at your hands right now. Have a look at them. Are they rough? Are they smooth? Did you rub in the hand cream this morning? Or are they dirty? Have you scrubbed under your fingernails? I don't care any of those. It doesn't matter. Because what is in your hands from the week that has just gone by is what we bring to worship. What we have for our worship on a Sunday morning is in your hands. Whether it's the good stuff of the week or the bad stuff. Yes, the service leader will put together a structure for us and the musicians will pray and choose songs and think of stuff to help facilitate our worship. But the bottom line is that it is in your hands what we have for our worship. See verse 13. God strengthens our hearts. How does he do that? Well, the primary way he does that is through each other. Through one another in the body. So have you been ministering elsewhere in the past week? Wonderful. Bring the news of that to our worship on a Sunday. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, bring it and share it. Allow yourself to be encouraged by others. Bring encouragement for others. This is the body in action. This is all of us urging and striving to see kingdom life across the city. But then overflowing that on a Sunday morning with our worship and praise and celebration of God as one people rooted in Christ, sharing a common purpose. Why don't we stand to pray? Musicians will gather as we try and process some of what I've just shared.